ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey fans, welcome back to another week of Wrecking Racing. I am your host, the Gas Man, and my co-host is Lugs.
How's it going, everybody?
So fans, thank you. Welcome back. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling your friends and other fans about us. We appreciate it. We're really getting close to that 500 mark, and we thank you guys for that. As always, check us out, WreckingRacing.com. Email us about anything you want to talk about NASCAR-related or Jaeger stories, whatever, at WreckingRacing@gmail.com. Lugs, you want to throw anything in there?
No, man. Just ready to talk about Kansas. Pretty kind of good race, I think. Ending.
Hold on. We're not at that point yet in the show there.
Why not? Lugs,
slow down. We still got beer to drink.
Oh.
And our fans. Say thank you, Lugs.
Thank you.
To the fans, not to me. To the fans.
Thanks, fans.
So, fans, always reach out to us if you want. Facebook, Twitter, whatever it floats your boat there, okay? Just reach out, say hi, see how we're doing. And just a reminder, fans, Daytona in July, Lugs and I will be there. We want to hear from you if you're going. So we want to have a meetup. We want to talk to you guys, meet you guys, etc. You never know if we might have a little swag or something with this as well. So reach out to us. Let us know if you're going so we can try to meet up. Now we can start moving a little bit closer to the Kansas race. Let's go ahead and get our beer flowing. As always, the official beer of NASCAR, Busch Beer.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little parched, so this is going to be very tasty. All right, so Kansas. The good old state of Kansas. It was one of the most boring states to drive through. You've been to Kansas? Not the racetrack, the state.
I've been to neither, no.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, driving through the state was almost as bad as this race was, in my opinion. It wasn't that exciting until the end. So
I thought there was some good racing.
At the end, I didn't feel like... Okay, go ahead. You obviously want to say something.
It was different. There was some different lead changes. It's not like Harvick went out and dominated it. You saw some good passes for the lead, different stage winners. I don't know really what else you could really ask for unless you're wanting everybody to crash out. Gas Man, what do you want?
Who was the lead lap person?
The lead lap person?
Yeah, a person with the most laps led. That's what I was trying to say. Take a guess.
I would say probably Harvick.
Larson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, kind of a shocker, isn't it?
Yeah, I knew that. I just had a brain.
Yeah, so we started off, pre-race with Larson spinning out during, was it qualifying or practice?
Yeah, qualifying, yeah. Second round, I think it was.
He had to start from the back of the pack, essentially.
Yep.
Which is like a common theme for him, it seems like.
Yeah, he had to change tires, which, you know, was anytime you change the tire, you have to start on the tires that you qualify with. And obviously, when you spin, you're going to blister your tires, so he had to start from the back. After he has a penalty for taking new tires, so can't really fault him there. But
yeah, but he does like start from the back.
It seems like it's happened a ton. Yes. Like half the races this year. I feel like that team would be so much better if they quit shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, prime example was again during the race. How many laps did he lead? Obviously, the most. I don't know the exact number, but
I think it was like 101.
A lot of laps led in contention, and then you know gets. Into an incident with Blaney, gets damaged, comes down pit road to fix that, and then there's a miscue there. He takes off as the guys are tightening the lugs, so they didn't get the lugs tight, so then he had to come back down
pit road. How many times can you say lugs, lugs?
Lugs. So it's just a cluster, man. They need to get on it.
Yeah. He still came back and finished fourth, but definitely, as also a common trend that we've been hearing with him, he moves his way up front, becomes a contender, then something happens in the pits,
yeah,
he falls back.
He was the one through car that I think could have, or was going to take down Harvick.
You mean a Chevy was actually going to have a chance to do something?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll talk more about Larson here in a little bit, because we have some news on him. Breaking news today. Yeah. So, obviously, we'll start from the beginning and just saying we all know the result. Harvick won. It's fifth of the season.
Fifth win.
42nd in the career. He's 18th on the wins list now. Last week, he passed Mark Martin with his win last week. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we talked about that.
No. We got some news on kind of Mark Martin later.
Oh,
you,
yeah?
I don't know if you know this, but...
I must not.
We'll get to it. So, 5 wins in 11 races, dude.
Yeah, it's...
You're the last person to do that?
I don't... No, we're not going into this week. I don't care who it was.
I'm about the stats,
Going on. So, the theme of this race... The theme of this race, it seemed like, was loose, loose, loose. Everybody was complaining about being loose.
Loose and arrow, yep.
Is this the first night race at Kansas?
No, not the first.
Did they have one last year?
The first ever?
Yeah.
No, they've had 2014 was the first.
Okay.
You want to know why I remember that?
No, what happened? I don't remember.
Gordon won it.
Oh, God.
Win number 89 of his career.
Okay, so anyway, moving on again.
I'm about the stats.
Moving on. So, Kenseth, this was his first race back.
Yeah.
In the 6 car.
Not the outcome he'd hoped for.
No, he wasn't doing great.
No.
Yeah, he was a couple laps down.
I think about second and a half off the pace consistently from what I was hearing on the scanner and the race rewind, so.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what? First outing with a new team and an organization you haven't been with in, what, 15 years or something? When did he leave Roush the last time?
Oh, man, I couldn't even tell you a date. I don't know.
2000s.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, he finished 36th. Not a very good debut. Yeah,
and that really wasn't even indicative of where he was running. He got caught up in a wreck. So.
Yeah, but he still wasn't running where I thought he would be. So,
no, but.
I think that kind of is a indicator or indicative of how Roush is right now. So, Stenhouse has been doing pretty good. But I think at 16, you know, we blamed a lot on Trevor Bayne, but maybe the team had more to do with we thought.
Stenhouse came home 11th, so.
Yeah, I think.
Close to the top 10.
Something's missing on that 6 crew, and hopefully Kenseth can help them find it.
Yeah, yeah, and I think they will. It's just not going to be something that happens overnight.
Yeah.
Or the first race that they have together.
It won't. So moving on, you know, there's a couple wrecks throughout that we're going to talk about. Some that may have an impact on point standings. Kind of a couple, like, there was some big names that really took some hits during this race.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, to me, the biggest one that took a hit during this race was probably Blaney. Because he was up there running for the, was it third?
Yeah, he won a stage. Yeah, and him and
Larson
were battling, and they just...
And the reason why I say it's the hardest hit is because he just had this happen to him at Bristol.
Yeah,
leading the race
took out while he was leading.
Yeah, leading the race, taken out. That really hurt him. And then coming in here, and I think he's maybe been second, either second or third. And then he gets, you know, him and Larson get together.
Yeah, him and Larson need to quit shooting themselves in the foot because I think they easily could have had a win a piece in it by now if things would just fall their way.
Yeah, absolutely. Some other wrecks that happened, you know, Bowman.
Big one.
Which one?
The one with Byron and Boyer.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge man. Byron took a hell of a hit. He landed on top of Newman's car everybody else in the field has done at least once.
Hit that wall head on, man. So, thank goodness they got the safer barriers. I think that's the saving grace in those huge impacts nowadays, which, I mean, obviously it is, but a testament to the safety of the cars, too, of course. But, yeah, that was a crazy crash. And you could see there, like, and again, we were just talking about aero and how big of an aero issue was to everybody, but you could see Byron underneath Boyer, and he couldn't hold it down. You could see the back end just start to come around. He started to chase it.
Yeah, like I said, loose was the theme of the race, it seems like.
It was just gone. Just gone.
And same thing happened to Suarez. He got loose going corner and ended up taking Bowman out.
Yep.
Yeah. Bowman. I mean, really, other than those little facets, it really wasn't, to me, that exciting of a race. It's okay. It wasn't that great, though. But there was a little excitement at the end of the race. So not only did Harvick chase down Truex, take the lead in the victory for his
2
fifth?
2 to go, yeah.
But right about the exact same time that was happening, a little something else was happening in the back of the pack. Why don't you tell us about that, Lugs?
Yeah, Mr. Chase Elliott and Stenhouse got into it. Looks like they were just racing hard for the win. Elliott had a heck of a run going coming off of 4. This was with, what, I think 2 to go.
Right.
And... I mean, Stenhouse did what he had to do, man. It's 2 to go. You got to race, right? You got to race for every position. You got to race your guts out. He's doing what he had to do. He pulled a slide job off and basically, you know, cut Elliott off, cut the run off that he had. And then I guess Chase wasn't too happy with it. Then by doing that, Kyle Busch got by both of them, so they both lost a spot. It helped neither one of them. They both finished outside the top 10. So, but you know, afterwards, then Elliott's, you know, obviously pissed off and you know, getting into Stenhouse during the cool down lap, and they're, you know, bumping into each other and all this stuff. So, pretty crazy. But I mean, it's like, you got to do what you got to do. I like Chase, but come on, man. Like, he didn't crash you, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I was getting ready to bring that up. I was getting ready to call you out being a Chase Elliott fan. And it's going to get,
did you think I was going to go the other way?
Yeah, I thought you were going back Elliott, and I was about to have some rebuttal with you. You know, but I'm actually glad that you owned up to that and agreed that Chase was kind of a little foolish there, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, come on, man, two laps to go. All right, now, if you want to get pissed and crappy, if you're doing that, you know, to race for a stage, okay, I can kind of see that, you know, you're racing for stage points. Okay, it's not the end of the race, but this is the end of the race, man, and you're fighting for a top 10. Stenhouse did what he had to do.
Sure, absolutely. And unfortunately, Busch did end up with the 10th and Stenhouse 11th and
right.
12th. So
right.
That kind of did hinder them, but Chase needs to kind of just take a step back, dial it back a little bit, a couple deep breaths, and just focus on winning.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that probably boils down to frustration, right? Like,
yeah, I think it does. Yeah.
He's at 8 second place finishes now. Still hasn't gotten that coveted first victory.
And really not having that great of a season.
No, none of the Chevys are. And the whole Hendrick organization together. So I'm sure there's multiple, you know, strings pulling at him, and that was kind of his frustration showing.
I agree with you on that. It's a good analysis there, Lugs. Good job.
No, I try.
You should work for ESPN and not this little podcast.
ESPN, if you're listening.
Yeah. Okay.
So what else?
The next Ricky Craven across from me here. So that pretty much sums up the whole race, really. Like I said, overall, the racing was kind of, it was okay at the end, but
hey,
I think it fell flat throughout, though.
You know, pass for the lead with two laps to go. Can't want any more than that, really.
Yes.
I mean, but check this out, though, and I'm sure you obviously saw it. But think about whenever Byron and Bowyer and all of them crashed. Did you see how close Harvick was to being in that crash?
Yeah, I did.
He was on the top side, like four wide, and like barely missed getting tapped by Bowyer when he started to spin around, and then ended up coming back. And
so there were some big names towards the back of the race. So you had Kenseth at 36th, Blaney at 37th. You had
Byron 33rd.
Yeah, Suarez at 28th, Newman at 30th. Where did Johnson finish? Because he finished 19th, so I know he struggled.
Yeah.
So, man, there was...
Did you hear any of that, the scanner feed, you know, conversation between him and Knaus?
I'm sure it was very pleasant.
Man, I don't see how they
have such a relationship.
How they make it to the next race together. Because
yeah, I know.
It's like, I don't understand how that relationship works because they cut each other down in every dialogue that they have.
Yeah, but it must work out well.
I mean,
it must be like really true friends to be able to be.
It's been like that for years.
It has. I know. Yeah, it is shocking because I've heard plenty of dialogue in the past. So
yeah.
It's kind of like all this time to tell you to grow up and stop being a little...
If you guys ever haven't listened to it or heard it, go to YouTube and check it out because it's pretty some demeaning conversation sometimes.
So last week we talked about... We'll go ahead and talk about our picks. So I chose Keselowski and Jones as my dark horse.
Mm-hmm.
Keselowski didn't do too well, 14th. Eric Jones, 7th. It's not horrible.
Didn't hear much out of him, but solid finish.
Yeah, both of them were actually kind of quiet.
Yeah.
That's my average finish of 10.5 on that race.
Okay.
So how'd your guys fare?
Well, my guy got passed for the lead with two to go. Passed for the lead. So Truex finished 2nd. And Blaney... He won a stage and was competing for the win.
Yeah,
but had
we were
running,
looking good for a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, running hard with Larson took him out, and he finished 37th. So,
yeah, so that's average of 19.5.
But you know what? I had the closer pick, so
you did.
But neither one of us get anything.
I guess
out of
we
this,
both
so.
we both failed this week. You keep taking the layups, Harvick and Truex. Those are layups. I try to go for the bold prediction.
What, Keselowski?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely, Keselowski. It's a bold prediction.
He could be considered a layup. Could be.
No, he hit. When was the last time he won?
Well, he hasn't won this
year. Exactly, but, so therefore it's not a layup.
But he's been competitive.
You must not know what a layup is. Okay, maybe I'm... Maybe me letting you choose Harvick and Truex week in, week out.
Giving me first pick. I don't know who you were going to pick.
Throwing you an alley-oop.
Just throw me under the bus.
Do you know what an alley-oop is?
All right, so next, let's talk about the outcome. A couple penalties this week.
Yeah, at least one big one.
Do you not know both of them?
Both? I know one penalty.
You know the big penalty.
Yeah, I know. I guess I don't
know
the little penalty.
Yeah, there's another one. But go ahead. I'll let you have the big one.
So the penalty was for Kyle Larson. It's the same damn thing we keep hearing every race.
Fifth time.
About the rear window support.
Yeah, fifth time for this infraction.
It's such an issue now that NASCAR's released a statement saying that they're going to start looking at this to be a bigger penalty because obviously people are just running crazy with it.
Yes. The level one infraction. So they said that what they've been giving out is what they deem a medium-based level one.
Right.
So, do you know...
Now they're talking about severe.
Yeah. Do you know how high up the level one goes?
I think it's like 3-race suspension, $70,000, and like 40 points.
Close. So, the car chief would be suspended for 3 races as opposed to now 2. $75,000 fine versus 50. And yes, for up to 40 points. So they haven't said specifically what they would go with, but I mean, there's only, you know, those options basically, I guess, from here on up. So
right, but definitely a big hit to Larson. Again, shooting themselves in the foot when they could be doing so much better than what they are.
Yeah. So it's like, is it really at this point the gamble worth it? Because in my opinion, it's not.
No, I agree. I don't think it is. I don't. I think we would have more, obviously, if it was. More teams would be, especially teams in the back, would be trying it. But
and I don't know how many times Larson got busted for it. I think that's the second, right?
I'm thinking
Harvick had one.
Who Harvick, was it Chase had one?
Boyer, yep, and Boyer.
Boyer, yep.
So there's your 5.
I think Larson had it twice.
And we didn't have any of those written down. I'm impressed we got those that quick.
Yeah, right? No kidding. We're our young minds at work.
If that's what you want to call it.
So, but did you hear Denny Hamlin screaming and crying on the radio about Larson's window?
Typical.
He said something about his roof was down 2 foot or something
he said,
like that.
Pushed in 2 feet.
Yeah. Hamlin, he gripes a lot. Sorry if you're a Hamlin fan and you feel free to reach out and tell me I'm an idiot. WreckingandRacing@gmail.com. That was the gas man. I'll take it. All me, all day, always.
So any more on that?
No, we'll go through. Or do you want to go through some of the finishes?
I want to hit the other penalty that you don't know about.
Oh yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Joey Logano had a missing lug nut.
Oh.
So,
okay.
But hey, $10,000 fine to Todd Gordon.
Okay. All right.
So.
Sorry, Logano, for your pocketbook, for your crew chief being a little less.
Yeah, pocket change, more like it. But
yeah,
we can talk about that next. Go for it.
So obviously Harvick won, Truex was second, Logano the filthy whatever violator, I guess we'd call him, with his lug nut being gone. Finished third, Kyle Larson.
Man,
fourth.
I'm impressed by Larson. Come back for fourth.
Yeah, and Crybaby, I mean, Denny Hamlin fifth.
Menard sixth.
Yeah, that was actually a surprise.
Didn't hear much about him.
Eric Almirola ninth. A couple of notables were Bubba was 23rd, Byron was 33rd. Kind of the rookie battle there. Mm-hmm. Bubba took it this week.
Mm-hmm.
We already mentioned Blaney in 37th and Kenseth in 36th. Kind of sucks. Kind of crazy for them. But hey, that's NASCAR, right?
And it is.
Let's talk about points real quick. Okay, we'll talk about points and then we'll go back to news and stuff for the week. Since we're talking about standing or we're talking about racing wins and stuff like that. So we're talking about the struggles of Chevy, right?
Yes.
Now, officially, there is no Chevy in the top 10.
Yeah, with Larson's penalty losing those 20 points, that takes him from 10th and puts him in 11th.
What interesting season for a brand new Camaro, of all things. The ZL1 is supposed to be a really awesome card. Not performing up to standards right now. And I'm sure Chevy, the manufacturer itself, is kicking themselves, well, scratching their heads, trying to figure out
engineering
support.
They've got to be pulling their hair out. So it makes me wonder, because you didn't, I mean, you saw the Camry last year get off to a slower start, but it was nothing like this. So what's going to be the outcome with the Mustang next year when it premieres? Is it going to go, is it going to struggle?
I'm sure it will. I don't, this seems like, to me, like too much of a struggle. So I'd say a Mustang is going to struggle next year, but I don't think it's going to struggle as bad as this
has. This car?
Yeah. I mean, we could be wrong.
I would agree with you, though, but, you know, I guess it really depends how much it differentiates from the Fusion, because obviously the Fusion's killing it right now, so.
Yeah, they are. Chase is 15th right now in points. Byron, 19th. And Bubba, 22nd. So Byron and Elliott kind of, not so much Elliott too much, took a little bit of a hit this week, but definitely Byron took a hit this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but let's see, 229 points. So, yeah, he's got about a 30-point swing before he gets back into the top 16.
Yeah. For Elliott, 266. He should have been at 306, which would be putting him in, he would have been in 12th still.
Mm-hmm. I think Elliott is consistent enough, though. He'll get in, even if he doesn't win a race. I think he'll be okay.
I think so, too. And there's still plenty of racing around the corner.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And really, I mean, that's, we hit this every week about the points, so it's really nothing too much of a shock. We just kind of want to keep you updated on what's going on. So, news this week, I really don't have a lot of news. One thing I was going to kind of thought was neat was we're going into All-Star Race weekend, everybody. Woo! Exciting times. Casey Kane is going to be running a throwback paint scheme of his All-Star Race victory from 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That was the Budweiser?
Yeah, Budweiser number 9 car. Correct. So, the 9 kind of has the same look as on his 95 car currently to what's, I think it's 95.
Okay.
To what that 9 looks
like. I haven't seen that one. I'll have to check it out. I have 2 paint scheme news articles myself.
Sure.
Did you see, speaking of Kenseth, what he's running this weekend?
I have
in
not.
In the 6. He's running...
Viagra car?
No. I know you'd really like to see that, but no, it's not. It's a tribute to Mark Martin, his 1998 All-Star victory in the Valvoline car.
Looks
just like, it's pretty cool looking.
98, you said?
Yeah.
Is that the one with like the sprinkly
the Eagle,
looking?
The Eagle 1.
Oh, okay, okay,
Eagle
yeah, one.
Sorry,
yeah.
Sorry, I said
okay.
Valvoline. I'm sure Valvoline was
I'm
on
sure
that
part
car,
of, yeah,
but,
I'm sure.
But it, yeah, Eagle okay. 1 was the primary sponsor. My mistake there.
Cool.
And
cool.
Then Byron's got a special, picked up a sponsor for this weekend, special sponsor for the Open.
Who's that?
Hertz Car Rentals.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
It's yellow and red, or yellow and black, sorry, yellow and black. And kind of looks like the old school Kenseth DeWalt. It's not like aimed towards to be a retro or anything like that. But still, it's a pretty sharp looking car.
Cool. So while we're talking about that, you know, I actually had a question written down here, something I want to discuss. You remember back when we were youngins watching the race, the All-Star race, and how big of a deal it was? Because
I
think about the paint schemes, man.
Yeah.
That was one of the most exciting parts about All-Star weekend. Being a Dale Singer fan on my part, a Gordon fan on your part, mm-hmm. That's some of the best paint schemes ever.
Seeing whose was going to be better looking.
Yeah. So whether it be the, you know, Dale Senior Chrome car or Wheaties car or the Jeff Gordon T-Rex car.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
There's always something there that we looked at and we were like amazed by. Or I remember the Chrome Illusion car, Jeff Gordon. I'm like, man, I want to buy some of that paint when I get older and get a car.
Yeah, right.
So cool. So where has that gone?
To Darlington?
I to an extent, but even Darlington doesn't have quite the same. I remember that car. Yeah, Log's just showing a picture of what Matt Kenseth's car is going to look like. I remember that. That's actually going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, and so instead of Eagle 1, obviously, they're not going to bring that. I mean, I guess they could bring Eagle 1 back for it if they wanted to, or if they wanted to sign on. But Roush. So Roush is apparently the sponsor this weekend. So I hope it's Roush Performance or Do You Know Jack? Hashtag Do You Know Jack. So not sure what that promotion's about.
We'll check it out on our Twitter page.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, we'll be sure to tweet that here shortly.
So awesome. But, yeah, I definitely think we should get back. I know Darlington, For the ones who don't know, Darlington's now started at throwback paint schemes during a certain era, blah, blah, blah. And it's great. That's fun. It's really cool for the Southern 500 feel. But the All-Star race is supposed to be that one special thing. That one... you just have to pick crew challenges.
Here's my opinion, Gasman, is that what's the All-Star race been like? What's the racing been like the last 5 years?
Last five, not very good. You remember when it rained that one time?
2001.
And it just everybody crashed.
Yes, I do remember. Do you remember who ended up
winning? Okay, we're going on. Stop bringing crap like that up. Nobody wants to hear that garbage.
Yeah, they do. Tweet us if you want to continue to hear those stats. But anyways, I just feel like the whole event, the whole venue overall is just kind of slacking anymore. Like the competition, it just isn't what it used to be. It's just not as exciting.
It's
like
not.
It used
they don't
to
have
be.
The excitement or not. Right. So why don't we go ahead, Harvick has mentioned multiple times about rotating it, moving it, doing something with it.
They need to. So put it this way. If this new rules package, which I don't know how many of you fans are familiar with that, we've got an all-new rules package. It's the only race so far that they're going to be running this year with it, where they're putting restrictor plates on the cars to keep them, I guess, ideally closer and keep the competition close. The cars are basically going to be all out, 100% full throttle for this race.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Is what they're anticipating.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I was going to talk about that later, jackass.
Okay. But they got it. They're trying something new, right?
So they are.
That's my point I'm trying to make before you cut me off, is that at least they're trying something new for this one. They're not going to put the Institute the same rules package that they're running the rest of the year, because I think that's the issue. Like, they're going to just use that as a testing session for the Coke 600. Well, guess what? What they have this weekend for rules
is
not going to be
nothing
at the Coke 600. So why not pull something out of your you-know-what to try this weekend and see what happens? I was listening to Dave Moody on Sirius XM. He was saying if this is successful, he predicts that NASCAR will roll it out schedule-wide. Maybe probably not this year, but...
I've seen a lot of skepticism from some of the drivers I was reading about it.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is none of us, and even the drivers, even know really what to expect. So I'm excited for it. It creates a new element.
And teams can't even practice for it because they can't get the equipment from NASCAR to set their cars up.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they're trying to create their own simulated parts and splitters and whatever else to get to that package so they can run, like, simulated test on various non-NASCAR tracks or whatever to try to get an idea. Yeah. Hmm.
Well, that's interesting. Anything to get an advantage,
I guess.
But I mean, I'm just excited for it. It's kind of like last year when they introduced the two, different tire compounds, option tire and whatnot. So at least they're trying new stuff, right? They're not going to go out not trying. So kudos for that, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, fingers crossed it turns out to be awesome. I hope. I mean, we really needed to bring it back. But definitely, teams, if you're listening, get back to the paint scheme. That's just something as a kid get so excited about. And plus, it's merchandise sales.
Yeah.
But how many cars do you have that were special paint schemes?
Are people going to buy it, though, is the thing. Like, are we going to return to that?
Maybe not. But you still have the chance for it to happen.
True.
So, Lugs, literally, how many various paint scheme cars do you have? Okay, let's just keep it at All-Star related. How many... I'm not trying to have you pull your nerd card out here, but... And by the way, I reposted your cars on the internet like 2 weeks ago on Twitter. I took a picture of your cars and posted it. I guess you probably didn't see that.
No, I didn't. Thanks, though, I guess.
Yeah, I even tagged Jeff Gordon in it so he could see your collection. It's pretty...
Oh, cool. Did he say anything?
No, absolutely not.
Damn it, Jeff. I don't know, man. I mean, I started collecting them in '98, and I didn't get all of them. But just All Stars. I mean, Gordon raced to 2015. So what's that? 15 years.
Well, '98 to 2015 would be 17 years.
Yeah. So I'd say at least 15, or close to 15 cars probably there.
So you bought one every year, pretty much?
For the All-Star, yeah.
Oh, see, they're dedicated fan right there, folks. That's what I'm talking about. Let's get back to something special.
I mean, there were some years... Well, actually, you know what? Now thinking about it, I'd have to go back and look, because I think there was some years that I don't think there was really any years he didn't race a special scheme. So yeah, yeah, I bet there's probably 15 of them.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Thanks for pulling your nerd card out for our.
Hey, you know what? You got that nerd card too. You had.
Some I did not, not to the extent.
But you had a couple. Maybe they weren't all star races, but you got into the collecting there for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean,
I think everybody did. Everybody
yeah,
had
absolutely.
A few,
so. I mean, I had some stuff, just not a whole lot of stuff. So, but you know, I always enjoyed looking at your collection because you had quite a bit of cool ones. So even if it was Jeff Gordon stuff, I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a sad part of the sport that's kind of not what it once was either. But anyways. Also another, or so are we done talking about the All-Star race? Well, no, we got to talk about the segments, but,
I don't have any other news.
I do have one other news piece.
Sure.
I'm surprised you didn't hear about this, but it was today. So NASCAR made a new rule change. You know, previously we were talking about earlier when Larson spun out, he had to change his tires and everything, right? So now teams have the option to start the race on new tires. They are not mandated to use their qualifying set.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So the tires that they qualified with, they're not mandated to start the race, which obviously, unless there's a very short amount, a short supply of tires, I don't see anybody starting the race with those.
Yeah, exactly. I don't. I mean, what's the catch? I seem like there should be a catch involved with that.
No, they just said there was too many games. So like at California a few weeks ago, when the teams were making one round attempt, basically, they'd get into the top 24, and then they wouldn't qualify anymore. So, trying to stem that strategy-type behavior, which, you know, I'm okay with that. Like, I want to see the teams go out there, put your best foot forward, and qualify the best you can, because, you know, if that's my driver, I want them to compete at 100%. It's the same situation with all these cars. They can't get through, you know, pre-qualifying tech, and then they can't make a run at qualifying or whatnot, you know? It's
true.
I want to see a full 100% passionate, 100% put your best foot forward race weekend. Qualifying, practice, race.
Gotcha. Okay, well, cool. We'll see how that works out going forward. So the last thing I want to discuss is the All-Star Race, which is what we're heading at next week.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just want to break down what is the All-Star Race, you know, what's the format, how people get in it, etc. So let's start talking about that. So the All-Star Race has been going back in NASCAR for a very long time, and some of the best moments in NASCAR come from the All-Star Race, such as the passing of grass, etc. And like we talked about, thinking about our childhood, a lot of our best NASCAR memories was what paint scheme they run it, because that was I loved when Senior ran the chrome car. I thought that was cool as hell.
Mm-hmm.
The T-Rex car from Jurassic Park.
How'd the chrome car finish?
You got wrecked.
Did it?
Yeah. The Wheaties car. I mean, and the, was it Sam Bass car with all the different funky colors or whatever?
The Peter
oh,
Max.
Oh, yeah.
Was
or
it
Peter? Yeah, Peter Max. Yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it was just really
It was
cool.
Sam Bass, but Peter...
Yeah. I used to have the display of the car. I still do somewhere.
Oh, so you did have an All-Star.
I had some cars.
You heard it. He admitted it.
Yes, I had some cars. I had Dale Jr.'s with the blue, like, USA red car, the blue top on it.
Yeah.
I had that one, too. I thought that was a really good-looking car. Anyway, my point is that there's a lot of good memories from the All-Star race, and we need to find some way to get back to those making memory moments for the fans.
Mm, yeah.
So how, Lugs, how does a racer get to race in the coveted All-Star race?
Well, you have to have won a race up to this point in the schedule this year or a race last year.
So 2017 or so far 2018?
Correct.
Okay. And any other way to get in the race?
Previous All-Star winner, yes.
Okay, anything else?
Is it a champions provisional,
champion,
basically?
Yeah, so there's a champions provisional, previous All-Star race winner, and a race winner from 2017 to 2018.
Up to this point,
yeah. So here's a list of our guaranteed occupants. We have Kurt Busch for winning Daytona last year. Brad Keselowski winning from Atlanta. Martin Truex from Las Vegas last year. Ryan Newman from Phoenix last year. Kyle Larson from California last year. Jimmy Johnson from Texas last year. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. from Talladega last year. Austin Dillon from Charlotte last year. Ryan Blaney from Pocono last year. Kevin Harvick from winning Sonoma. Denny Hamlin from
last year.
That was last year, yes. Almost all these are last year. Denny Hamlin from New Hampshire. Casey Kane from Indianapolis. Kyle Busch at Pocono, Matt Kenseth at Phoenix, Clint Bowyer at Martinsville of 2018,
this year, yep.
And Joey Logano of this year at Talladega.
Hmm.
Now, past All-Star winner provisional will be Jamie McMurray, so he does get that spot. Casey Kane, if he didn't win Indianapolis, he would have had that as well, so he would have been in regardless. So good for Levain Family Racing getting that acknowledgement within that race.
Yep. And then there's one other way to make it in.
Yes. So this is becoming a very popular thing the last couple of years, is someone gets in by a fan vote.
And?
Well, and stage winners this year. That's something new.
Of the Open. Yeah.
So of the Open, which is the precursor to the actual All-Star race, three stages, the winner of each stage gets in, and then that fan vote gets in. So some people feel that Chase Elliott is probably going to be your front runner to get in on the unless he wins a segment, which I couldn't put it past him, but he's also not looking the best either. So either way, but people like Matt DiBurrito have been really pushing hard on podcasts, not ours, you know, I've asked, to like talk to the fans and try to get those fan votes. So fans, if you feel like you need to vote for Matt, even though you didn't hear it here, vote for him.
Do so. Yeah.
Yeah. And definitely vote before the end of this week.
Yeah. So I always, honestly, there's a certain hype to the whole All-Star weekend that I like predominantly because of the Open. I think the Open is always cool because the guys are just racing their guts out knowing that's the only shot they have to get in it.
Yeah, it's not like they're going to tear up their car for Charlotte either.
Yeah, but I also really have always liked the qualifying format.
So tell us about the qualifying format. So, what is it?
Qualifying format, basically do three laps with a mandated four-tire pit stop. Now,
what speed limit?
None. There's no pit road limits. Just you complete three laps with a green flag pit stop, you know, with four-tire change. The fastest person starts first. So it's always cool to see those guys just fly down pit road at 160 and try to get it shut down and in their pit box without shooting over, having to back up or stopping short and all that.
You know who I think would excel at this or does excel at this?
Kyle Busch. Absolutely. That dude's crazy getting on and off of pit road.
I know. Exactly. I was thinking that today, reading over my notes, was like, man, I'm not the biggest Kyle Busch fan, but I do respect the way he does pit road.
Yeah, he's really good at it. So That's cool to watch. And then, you know, actually, I think that's tomorrow. That's not tomorrow. Today's Wednesday. Friday is when the qualifying is. The segment winners for the Open, they don't participate, obviously, because that's the following day on Saturday. But they will just have to start at the back since they're transferring in through the Open. But everybody that's locked in, everybody that you mentioned a second ago, Gasman, they're all going to be competing in the qualifying. That's Friday. And then, of course, you got the Open and the All-Star race on Saturday. So it's always fun to watch the Open, in my opinion.
I agree. I think sometimes the Open's more exciting than the actual.
What was it, a few years ago, did you watch the one where it was Larson and Elliott? They were like,
oh yeah,
basically
yeah,
crashing, trying to get the segment win.
I said the great thing is some people were scared to race your cars too hard because they were going to use them for the 600 of the week later. This year, you don't have to worry about that.
Not now. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So the format of the All-Star race this year is going to be four stages, 30 laps, 20 laps, 20 laps, and 10 laps, and I feel that 10 laps is going to be crazy because of this aero package that we're getting ready to talk about. The idea is that the person in the back of the pack is almost as fast with drafting, et cetera, as the person in front of the pack.
But if everybody's in front, it's just going to be like a restrictor plate, like Talladega or Daytona race. If everybody's in front of you going three wide, you're going to have anywhere to go unless you're going to wreck your way in there, wreck them out of the way.
Yeah. Which might happen.
Yeah, I do, and that's my next point, is I see this being a lot of yellow flags.
So these cars are going to be a battle of attrition?
I think so. I think these cars are going to be very close to each other, 100% time on the track, and I just don't see they're going to be able to stay off of each other.
Yeah.
Hey, one other piece I want to throw in here, backtracking, back to talking about the All-Star qualifying.
Sure.
I forgot to mention this. You know, when they come down for the green flag, four-tire pit stops, if they miss a lug nut whenever they come back after the qualifying run, that's a 5-second penalty. So
lugs, bringing you the info on the lug nuts.
It's also accuracy is very important. So you can't just shoot three of the five lugs and be on your merry way, because I think a lot of teams would probably do that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
to save the time. So got to have all five lugs on there, or it's a 5-second penalty, which we see. I've seen, you know, every year it gets two or three drivers. So it'll be interesting who it gets this year.
Yep, on the actual stages, the last stage of the race, green flag only laps. So they'll restart as many times as they have to get two green flag laps in.
That could be very dangerous. very dangerous game, yeah.
Could be dangerous, entertaining, however you want to look at it. Could be fun. And I'm hoping for fun. We need some more fun back in here.
Yeah, I'm optimistic, very optimistic about this weekend. So we'll see what happens. So you got any more on the format you want to follow up on?
No, let's jump over to the aero package. I'll let you discuss the aero package.
Yeah, so the aero package is similar to the one that they used last year at the Xfinity race in Indianapolis, and then they're going to be using it at Indy again this year, Michigan and Pocono in the Xfinity series. But so, in addition to the front aero ducts, there's going to be a bigger, basically the 2014 splitter, a spoiler that's 6 inches high, 12 inches high at the ends, and then a restrictor plate with holes of 7/8 of an inch in diameter. And the typical spoiler for most races is 2.375 inches. So
that's going to be a hell of a
huge, basically tripling, almost tripling in size.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy. 12 inches at the ends, that's going to be, wow. I mean, it's pretty significant. That's going
to
be kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. So it'd be crazy to see how crazy the cars look with those big old spoilers sticking up. So.
It's going to be an exciting time. The winner gets $1 million. Now, do you want to kind of throw this out there or preface this? The winner, as in the winning team, gets $1 million, not just the driver itself. So that $1 million is distributed amongst the team based on whatever the owner has set up with the driver
contract,
crew, etc. So just, I know we always think the drivers always get the money. That's not the case. They have to split it amongst the team, and the team was well deserved, and most times the teams are deserving of it more than the driver is.
Yeah, especially if it comes down to last-minute pit stop or something like that. Absolutely.
So, Lugs, I'm running out of stuff to talk about this week.
Okay, well, I got a good topic here. So,
okay,
who do you see getting most likely their first All-Star win this weekend?
First All-Star win.
Yeah. So, I'll give you a couple to pick from. And if it's not one of these four, then that's fine, too. Keselowski's never won an All-Star race. Elliott hasn't. Martin Truex Jr. has not. And Eric Jones has not. So,
you shocker.
Can pick. You can pick. Wait.
How many race victories does Eric Jones have?
Well, he could race his way in the open.
Yeah, so of course he's not going to have an All-Star race victory. Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Okay, so this poll came off of Race Hub. So.
Okay. Oh, don't that explains it. We've mentioned
them,
this multiple episodes on how
you've mentioned it.
They're a bunch of dummies over at Race Hub.
Stop it. Okay, so who is it, or is it going to be someone outside of those?
I want to say Keselowski, but every time I say his dang name, I get burned.
Yeah, you do. So,
Truex is the easy bet, but I'm going to go with Elliott.
So, actually, historically, Truex has not ran very well in this race. The last time he... I think they said got in the top five or top three. The stat that I read was like 2010. So he's historically not ran well at this race. Yeah. But
let's just go. I'm going to be a dark horse person this week. Let's say Elliott, sure.
Chase Elliott. Okay.
Yeah, because he'll make it in regardless, unless he wrecks.
We'll see if that's going to be your actual pick for when we make our picks here shortly. So I know it's not a points-paying race this weekend, but Harvick technically is racing for his third straight race again. I mean, whether you consider it this weekend, even though it's non-points, or the following weekend for the Coke 600. I mean, could be the second time this year he wins three races in a row. What do you think about that?
I can only name one person who's done that before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet I know who it is. You know, I could throw a fit and throw a tantrum here, but I'm not going to because I'm not like that.
What are you trying to say, Lugs? So, anyway, who do you have for picks this week?
All right, so I've got two for the actual open, and I've got two for the actual race. Do you have...
I haven't picked anybody, so why are you picking...
Oh, you're going to give me first pick again?
Yeah, because I wasn't prepared.
Because you just complained about that earlier. So, all right, so I'm going to start with the open since that race is first. I'm going to pick Almirola as one of the three segment winners. That will transfer over. So okay. I think Almirola will win a stage and transfer over. I obviously think Chase will be the fan vote. And then I think that my dark horse, I should say, is going to be Bubba. Bubba Wells. So I'm not going to pick all three stage winners. I'm just going to pick one, a fan vote, and then the dark horse. So that's my pick for that. The actual all-star race, Larson's my number one pick. I like the speed that we saw this weekend at Kansas.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm making notes here as you're saying these.
So. Then it's not really, I mean, I guess you could say it's a dark horse. He's not really, I don't know if I would classify him as a dark horse, but I'm going to this weekend, Blaney. Blaney would be my...
The two guys that shoot themselves in the foot and can't finish a race.
I know, but I got faith, man. They're going to right the ship this weekend. One of the two of them.
When it doesn't matter, you mean?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Still $1 million, bragging rights.
Yeah, true. All right, so
who you got?
For a segment winner, I'm going to go with Eric Jones.
So he's going to win in, okay.
Yep. My fan vote, we've already talked about this, so Chase. I'll stick with it. Yeah, even though you chose him, but it's going to be Chase. Sorry, Matt DiBurrito. And my dark horse, man, let's...
Tick-tock.
Paul Menard.
Okay. Had a good run last week. It's hard to argue that.
And then my actual race, I've already mentioned Elliott. I'll stick with that. Mentioned that a moment ago, so I can't backtrack now. Foot
that's true.
Inserted already into mouth. So.
Well, you don't have to go. I my original question was supposed to be of those four non-first time winners, who would win first. So oh. I'll let you make another pick here. You need a dark horse, anyways.
True. So my dark horse would be Elliott. How about that? Is that fair enough?
That's fine.
We'll work with that. The actual race, I'm just gonna say Harvick. Just go with the hot hand, man.
It's hard to argue that. I can't say anything, so it's a very possibility. Very
I like Harvick, but it is a little frustrating seeing him win as much as he has.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, when you're on a streak, you're on a streak. You can't really...
Good for him.
Can't really argue results like that.
Good for him.
All right, well, that's all I got.
That's all I got, too. As always, fans, thank you for listening. A little shorter episode this week. A little bit less to talk about, but we appreciate you listening all the way through. And again, as always, please reach out to us, wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Say hi. You know, if you say hi, maybe we'll give you a call out on the show. And Jason, give a call out to a guy named Jason if you're listening. Hey, thanks for being a fan of the show. We appreciate you. We'll have a beer with you sometime. And folks, you have a wonderful day. Good talking to you.
Have a good week.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.